You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, host of this program that comes to you every Saturday at 6 p.m. And today we have a very special guest, Joanna Crespo, MBA and Reiki teacher. She has been practicing Reiki for over 10 years. She is certified in the Family Constellation and Chinese Herbalism and a KRI certified instructor of Kundalini Yoga. She is the director of the New York Open Center training program for the Reiki system of natural healing, and she has a private practice in Montclair, New Jersey. Her website, ReikiRhapsody.com. And Reiki is spelled R-E-I-K-I. So just want to say hello, Joanna, and welcome you to today's program.
Hello, Catherine. Thank you.
Yes, I'm really happy to have you. I myself am a Reiki practitioner. I'm only a Reiki 2 practitioner, but I have some familiarity with what it is. But I thought a good place to start might be to explain to people what Reiki is, and then I'd go a little bit more into your own background and history in developing this practice.
So Reiki is a spiritual healing as recognized by the New York State, and it's a study and a practice of recognizing that we are spiritual life force, or that we come from this universal life force, and that when you tap into this life force and through your own personal practice, it is the goal for all the Reiki practitioner to be able to align themselves to the life force and that help them navigate through life and eventually attain the experience that the founder, Master Usui, had received, which sort of accumulated into this Reiki practice. So the founder, Master Usui, when he had this moment of realization, or what we call it a satori, or the enlightenment, he recognized that everyone can do this, because we all came from the same cosmic source. And so his intention is that through this practice, we can all attain his level of realization and ease through the suffering of life.
Beautiful. And how was it that you came upon Reiki yourself? You have a diverse background in healing. How did you first get into the Reiki practice?
Well, my background actually is quite logical. I had an applied math and statistic background in college, and I had an MBA. But through life, after having 3 kids, I didn't realize I went into depressions. And so a friend of mine just told me to go study Reiki. And when you're in depression, you don't really care what Reiki is, and I didn't. But I knew I was a good student. I could take good notes. So not knowing where Reiki is, I went to Kripalu and I studied with Libby Barnett. And it was the first time in years after I had my children that I felt good. And the sensation of feeling good was so foreign to me that when I came back to New York City, I went with my usual approach, which is to find a very grounded, structured teacher to find out what this is about. What is about Reiki that actually made me feel good, and the sensation was so foreign to me, I wanted to know what it is. But when I was surveying the website, various websites, there was a lot of feeling good and sort of magical effect of this Reiki that I didn't trust until I came across my teacher's, my late Reiki teacher's website, and her website actually looked like a college syllabus. It says 450 hours, you'll get to take 12 classes, and you have to do all this outside practicum, extra credit to be certified. And I And I said, wow, this really appeals to me. It's very logical. It has a lot of information I would want to learn on my own. So I studied with her, and throughout the years studying with her, I love her program because her intention was to create a very grounded structure practice that we can build our life on, and that the practice should be transparent and ease and relevant to our day-to-day life, because she said life happens and it should be very real. And that's my background with how I came upon Reiki.
Mm-hmm. And now you're managing the Reiki program at the New York Open Center. And I noticed that you teach a lot of classes and offer Reiki from a number of different perspectives. And I find it interesting, and I found that even for myself, that it's true that when we approach these healing modalities, we're doing it in a process of self-healing. And then we can transition to be able to use it to help people or to build a practice, a profession for ourselves. But it seems to me also that you have a great deal of integrity in what you offer, because you do have all these various levels. You have Reiki circles in which people can come together to practice. You have certification programs. And you also have basic programs, which we're going to be talking a little bit more about today. So perhaps you could expand a little bit on the diversity of how Reiki can be integrated into one's life.
Okay. So did you want me to talk about the diversity or the effect of the Reiki, or did you want me to speak about the program?
Well, you can speak about it in the context of the programs that you offer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, so one thing I learned from my teacher is that the Reiki is needs to be practical, and needs to be real, because one of this golden rule, I call it the golden rule from my teacher, when I first came into her program, she says, you can heal people, only they can heal themselves. And I took that to heart, and that's because, and that's one of the core reasons why I teach. I say, well, I can heal people, but I can share my love for Reiki and what he has, what is continuous evolving for me, and I can share that experience with other students. So I learned how to teach Reiki 1 and 2 with my teacher, and I studied with her for a few years on that. And after first 2 years, so the first year of Reiki, you just basically learn what Reiki is and what is, and it's for any lay people to come into Reiki to just gain a new vocabulary through the lens of Reiki. And I'm not sort of putting bias on Reiki, because there's different lens through different type of study. And this is just one lens that resonate. If you resonate with you, then you can come in and study the vocabulary Reiki and learn to navigate your awareness through our vocabulary. And the first year of Reiki is just about you finding your relationship with Reiki. And that's a very awesome time of discovery, because you're finding about your body, you're tuning into your nervous system, you're tuning into your own self-awareness. And that this first year is always the biggest year for any students that come into a Reiki practice, because we're so busy with our life that we forget to listen to ourselves. We forget to listen to our body. We forget to listen through our pain, and a pain can come from our own abandonment, from ourselves, from our family, from our friends, from our colleagues, and listen through various emotions of shame or guilt, and to even couch it with our emotion of happiness and what feels good for us. So if you remember what I said about, it has been so while for me to feel so good and clear and clean about myself that it was foreign to me. So first year Reiki practice is very important, because this is where you actually have to open yourself up and have the courage to excavate into your own body and your own emotion and be very gentle and listen. And then from this, so once you start listening to yourself and you come into the second level of practice and you start sort of like, okay, you know, I can expand this listening skill to my friends and my family and to the people surrounding me. And this is where the interrelationship is very important, where how do you navigate the space between you and the person in front of you. And so this first 2 years of Reiki practice, I just found it's a way to redefine your vocabulary, way to redefine your awareness, and a way to renegotiate your space between you and your counterpart, whoever you are, you're having a relationship with, any type of relationship with. And then after 2 years, it was interesting. With like my students started asking about what is the next, what do you do next? I said, well, the next in a Western standard of Reiki is level 3. I call it level 3. I don't call it Reiki master, because someone said to me, how can you be the master of life, universal life force? And I say, you're right. You know, level 3, because we're always learning. We are ever evolving being, infinite being. So I'm just going to call it level 3 for the sake of simplicity. And in level 3, I found that when I was structuring level 3, I found this is your own personal vision about what is it you want to bring forth for your students that can help them to further their practice. So I created a 4-module in Reiki 3, which is a 4-weekend. So whereas our Reiki 1 is 1 weekend at the Open Center, Reiki 2 is another weekend at the Open Center, Reiki 3 is 4 weekends, and it happens once a month. And it took me a while to really sit with this vision about it, about what is it I want to bring forth in Reiki 3. And my teacher always said to me, when you study and teach energy, your intention is so important, because that's what holds the space, that's what holds your vision. And I, for me, I was like, okay, you know, there are 4 Reiki symbols, and there are 5 elements. And so I decided I was going to have 4 modules, first being the physical body, which represent the first Reiki symbol. And the first module was about Japanese healing techniques. It was about your physiology and anatomy and your nervous system and the various advanced techniques you can apply that can help you to tune into your intuition. Because in Reiki 3, unlike Reiki 1 and 2, where we give you a simple protocol to follow, Reiki 3, we ask you to drop the protocol and start practicing with your intuition. So having advanced skill, advanced technique, will help you hone into your intuition. And then our second module was the second symbol. It's about your emotional bodies. So we practice a Reiki through the lens of your chakras. You know, the chakra in the body and the chakra outside the body. And then you with your intuition, you sort of tap into why do you place your hands on the body versus why do you place hands over the body, and at what layers of energetic bodies is your hand on. So in this module, there's a different set of vocabulary around the body that sort of help you navigate around the client's energetic bodies. And second module is very interesting, because I created this format called the chakra walk, which is through the lens of family constellation. We lay the chakras on the floor, and we just ask the students to step through each chakra, and through the facilitator speaking or sort of asking questions while the students is stepping through the chakras, they have this bodily reference, this experience in their bodies that inform them what is happening through their chakras. So the chakra walk is a combination of listening to what your chakra is saying to you. And so this is a very self-awareness exercise that I have presented in a Reiki class through the lens of chakras and the family constellations. So coupling with the first module of Japanese healing techniques and better understanding about your nervous system in the body, and then with added vocabulary of your energetic bodies, we come into the clinic, which is where you would invite two clients to come in and just give back-to-back sessions, and then we'll do review thereafter. Generally around that time, I invite guest speakers coming to, because after a session, everyone needs to decompress, so I would invite guest speakers coming to talk about either Chinese herbalism, healing with whole food, sound healing. Like one year I had a massage therapist come in to speak with the students about pain management, because these are the things that I just want to add vocabularies to the students. Not that they know, they will be expert at it, but to be able to hear it, to be able to receive added vocabularies will give them an added confidence to do body work on the table with the client. And the fourth module is generally what you would see out in the Reiki school, and that is your attunements. You receive your last symbols, you receive your attunements, you learn how to do attunements. But for me, this is what I have learned from the family constellation, that the word attunement means to come into a shared space with another person. That's what that word means in a very pedestrian way of looking at it. So we do quite a few family constellation exercises to help the students to come into awareness of how they engage and how they come in to the client's space. And we do little constellation exercises to help them see the clients with resource, to help the practitioner to feel they have resource behind them. So we are not hovering over the client, but we're leaning back with our own resources. So this gives room to work with between the practitioner and clients. And then if need be, if the energy does call for it, I actually will even do a constellation of the four Reiki symbols, where we sort of ask the Reiki symbol to rise up and inform the students what is their relationship with each Reiki symbols. And this is how we round out the Reiki 3 program with various way and various lens and various vocabularies to help them cultivate awareness about themselves and cultivate awareness about another person.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite lengthy.
Beautiful. No, I'm very impressed, actually, because that certainly is far more advanced of the system that I studied through Reiki. I went through the, sort of the weekend process to go to the various levels, and I discovered, I've been doing it for about 15 years, that I had to really learn so much more once I went out into the field to study Reiki. But it seems to me that you've created something that really gives people a strong foundation. So I'm actually quite impressed. And it also weaves into it a deeper understanding of this process of healing oneself and becoming acquainted with oneself and then being able to lend those skills in the practice as a Reiki practitioner. So it's certainly the most comprehensive program that I have ever come across in my years of being in this practice and offering this kind of work. So primarily my work is through Qigong, more than Reiki, and I would say that that's where I was really able to deepen my understanding of these practices. So let me ask you about the people that you bring into your program. There's a lot of support there. You also have Reiki circles that seem to be ongoing. And you have a program coming up, which is an introduction to basic Reiki hand positions for self-treatment, which you've dubbed Reiki 0.5. So it's a little bit before the Reiki 1.
I know.
but it makes so much sense to me, because as I've worked with people, I have found that the best way to really teach people is through a kind of apprenticeship, because people do need the time and the space to integrate all this information. And then there are people who are at different levels of need. One might need to spend the time just taking care of themselves before they can begin to engage in doing it as a professional practice. So talk a little bit about the Reiki 0.5.
Okay. So actually, with the programmer at the Open Center, she's the one that sort of couched me on that one. She said, Joanne, you know, there are people that's not ready to go into Reiki training program. And it was so funny. I've been so old hand at this, I didn't think there was like a big step for anybody. So I thought about it, I said, oh, wow, it's really interesting. There are people that actually saw Reiki 1 is like a professional training, whereas for me, Reiki 1 is about personal work. But I could understand that once you put out Reiki 1, 2, and 3, it's a sequential, become a professional training, and therefore people will hesitate to going to sort of like, I call it going to the dark side. So I said, all right, no, I'm at the space where I felt that Reiki is just a word, and that we are all spiritual beings, and that we all can do this ourselves. And therefore, when you coming to a Reiki class, it's your commitment, it's a student's commitment to making a commitment to having a spiritual practice through the lens, through the vocabulary of Reiki. So what if you didn't come into Reiki class? Would you be able to practice Reiki? And so I'm weaving the space between, can you or can you not practice Reiki? And I think people get caught up with the word Reiki. Reiki now means a certain set of practice, certain standard of practice. And I think that's when people come into a class, they're open to learn a certain standard, a certain vocabulary or practice. So what if you didn't come into Reiki practice? Could you do Reiki? I said, and I'm going to sort of put it out there and say, of course you can. Because we are spiritual beings. How did Master Sui start doing something that he later called a Reiki? So anyone can do it, and I didn't want people to get sort of hung up on the word Reiki or the professional training. I wanted to sort of bring back to the basic, and that is we are all the same, and that's what Master Sui said, we are all the same. What he can do, everyone can do. So 0.5 came out of that thought, and that is, hey, you could do Reiki, because I'm just going to show you this is so simple. You know, this is something that's old, something's forever. You could do this yourself. And whether they do Reiki or not, that's okay, because that's fine. Because my teacher always said, just have fun when you do something. If you're not going to have fun, why do it at all? And so 0.5 is a way for me to share how I practice Reiki. And then if they show them how to have fun just doing something, taking care of themselves, right? Wouldn't you want to have fun to take care of yourself? And so that's how 0.5 is coming up on July 30th on the Sunday. And it's at Open Center. And actually my family constellation teacher, she's also doing an intro on Saturday. So I thought that was quite interesting. Now she's doing intro on Saturday. I'm doing intro on Sunday, family constellation leading to Reiki. Did you want me to speak about the Reiki circle?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the Reiki circle is actually a great way to introduce Reiki for people that just walked in and goes, hey, you know, what's Reiki about? And it's always interesting for me to find how people just walk into Reiki circle. One time we actually had a guy who was having a blind day at the Reiki circle, which was quite interesting. But there's one thing about what my teacher said is that Reiki circle is really a way to market your school. It's for, because when people come in to attend Reiki circle, they're going to want to, if they are curious, they're going to want to know where they can learn this. So Reiki Circle is a way to market your school. Secondary, it's also a way to provide resource for your students to practice, because a lot of us coming to something like this and your family and friends don't know what it is. And so where do you find a like-minded community? And that's in the Reiki Circle. And it's sad to say, I don't see that many Reiki Circle outside of New York City, because there's a lot of Reiki practitioners out there and they need a place to practice. And that's what I really find very useful for a Reiki Circle. It's for the Reiki practitioner to come in and to practice. Because I found that if you just want to run a Reiki Circle for the sake of healing, it never lasts. It has to have a very practical intent, and that is the true intention to market your school and to also provide resource for your students. I have also started running a Reiki, like mentoring hours for students, for advanced students to come in and to, because as you move through different stages of Reiki, Reiki 1 and 2 may go to Reiki Circle, but Reiki 3 students need a more private mentoring or more advanced mentoring. So I've created that hours as well for them to come in and to be mentored. And I don't know if I talked about, we actually even have a teacher training program. And that's for the Reiki 3 students who found the value of being in a class, being bravely going to face the students and continuously being reflected upon, and also receive reflection from the students that they meet to learn more about themselves. So when they come into the Reiki 4, I call it Reiki 4 because it's just after Reiki 3, and they said to me, is this for teaching? I said, you could teach at Reiki 3 in a Western level, but Reiki 4 is to give you the experience of teaching. But what's beautiful about it is at the Open Center is that you will always meet all different type of people, and they offer a beautiful opportunity to reflect for you things that is outside of your comfort zone. So as a creature of habit, we tend to go towards people and events and situations that is comfortable for us. But if you go into a class to teach a class, you don't know who's walking in, and it's like having a brand new roommate. You don't know how they're going to be. And being as a teacher, you're also standing in a role of being their reflection. So there is this strange entanglement that could happen in the classroom, and then you have to be very aware of yourself to navigate that space of reflections and projections. And so I found this is why I found as we deepen our Reiki practice through first introduction in Reiki 1, then interrelationship in Reiki in level 2, and then of a professional setting where you becoming a responsible practitioner level 3, Now bring all that your experience and teach from your experience. And then you're always putting yourself out there, open and vulnerable to learn more about yourself, about life. And this is why I love teaching, because you can't hide when you teach. Your strength, your weakness shows up on the floor in front of students, and therefore you're always open. You're always open to receive life, to learn about life. And from here, when you teach, you also, when a student see you open and vulnerable, it gives them permission to sort of tap in back into themselves and goes, wow, I forget what was it like to be like that again. I forget what's it like to be this curious, to be this open. So if you put 10 Reiki teachers in front of you, you're going to have 10 different ways of teaching based on their own personal experience, their own filter. And throughout the years, I found there's no wrong teacher for anybody. It's just experiencing life in different shades of life over and over again.
Wow, that's beautiful. I want to remind people that you are doing a full-day workshop on Sunday, July 30th. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the New York Open Center, And the New York Open Center is on 30th Street, 22 East 30th Street in New York. But it would be advisable to go to the website, opencenter.org, or call 212-219-2527 to register. So that number again is 212-219-2527. Or you could go to the opencenter.org and find out more about these offerings. And we are speaking with Joanna Crespo, and she has an MBA and is a very experienced Reiki teacher. And she's been a practitioner of Reiki for over 10 years and is certified in the Family Constellation and Chinese Herbalism, and is a KRI certified instructor of Kundalini Yoga. And she is the director of the New York Open Center Training Program for Reiki System of Natural Healing and has a private practice in Montclair, New Jersey. Her website is ReikiRhapsody.com. Reiki is R-E-I-K-I. Rhapsody, R-H-A-P-S-O-D-Y, ReikiRhapsody.com, so you can explore and learn more. And I am really personally impressed with your program because, I mean, I was very blessed to be able to study with someone who was very personal in that practice. So I had that one-on-one interaction with my teacher. But I have also seen in various places these classes being offered that doesn't really give people that tangible connection to this vibrant language or practice as you have described it. So I'm very grateful to have to be able to share what you're doing with our listeners. So as we sort of come to the end of this segment, I want to invite you to share whatever wisdom or insights you would like to share with our listeners.
I think just that it's all good, and I know you have to. It's sort of like taking this word for faith, on faith that it's all good. But wherever you go, however you reach, whatever you're looking for, it's all, the answer is all within you. The answer is in you, around you. You just have to listen. That's what I have learned in my practice of Reiki, in trusting myself, learning to trust myself, learning to hear myself was the best gift that I ever received. So that's all for me.
Well, that's wonderful, because as people are listening, if they resonate, then they will connect with this information and connect with the Open Center. And I really do appreciate the levels, such as the Reiki 0.5, an introduction to basic Reiki hand positions for self-treatment, and that's Sunday, July 30th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., at the New York Open Center, opencenter.org. So thank you very much, Joanna, for joining me today on Heart of Mind Radio.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Have a beautiful
day.
Yes,
it's been you too. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye for now. And I just want to remind everyone who is tuned in that you're listening to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And this is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis. And when we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about healing. And I want to share with you some of the things that are coming up that you're most welcome to participate in, that I will be presenting for all of you. And we're going to take a moment to listen to a transitional song. It's called Dreaming Wide Awake by Liz Wright. And it's a beautiful song, and it's an interesting foray into where we are and how we interact with the world. And for me, the title alone, Dreaming Wide Awake, is really the direction that I will be taking you in our conversation in just a few moments. So stay tuned, and I shall return in just a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and like our guest in our first segment, I myself have been a Reiki practitioner for quite a number of years. It's how I know to be impressed with her program, because I really do feel that it shepherds one into this process, into this practice. I'm also a practitioner of Qigong energy, Qigong healing, Qigong movement, and a practitioner of the Sandlin technique, which is an indigenous form of energy transformation that is based on vision quest. And I have found over the years of engaging in these practices for my own cultivation, as well as helping people move through their own blocks and issues and to come to a level of balance within their lives, that this is a practice that has been extremely, extremely expansive for me. And what I've witnessed in the people that I have worked with over the years, that it is also very expansive for themselves. And I really think it is important to begin to regard ourselves as energetic beings, and beyond that, as beings of conscious awareness. And so much plays into the texture of who we are, the complexity of who we are. And really, in this journey towards healing, self-advancement, self-cultivation, it's so important to recognize the texture and the depth that we are, to begin to see the various rivers of energies and connections that flow through our being, and to understand that a lot of what we are challenged by are things that may have occurred in our lives through interactions with other people, through interactions with other space-time frames, through interactions with just coming into the world with a specific gift or mission. And sometimes there's a path that we walk to get from that point of beginning to recognize that we have this richness within us, to be able to reach through that to the point of having a sense of understanding of who we are and confidence that we can be our own, not just our own healers, but our own authority, and begin to be able to make choices and become a co-creator in our world, in our experience through life. So it's a beautiful journey that we're all on, and it's really not for me or anyone else to tell an individual or to tell a client what is right for them. It's a little bit like cultivating a beautiful plant and, you know, being able to nurture, to water, to give sun, or to expose to the sun. And as you cultivate these plants, then perhaps that plant will grow, perhaps it will flower, perhaps it will bear fruit of some kind. And if we can begin to think of ourselves as that plant, that we can responsibly and without self-doubt just embark on this journey of nurturing and cultivating ourselves so that we can reach that point of flowering within our lives, so that we can recognize that not only do we grow and flower and bear fruit, but we also travel through seasons. And so part of this process is to begin to recognize our own rhythms, our own seasons, when it's time for us to rest, when it's time for us to expose ourselves to new information, when it's time to engage in our individual practice, whatever that might be. Perhaps it's yoga, perhaps it's qigong, perhaps it's reiki, perhaps it's a more shamanic practice, something that is indigenous to some of the ancient wisdom that has grown and been cultivated in our traditional shamanic societies. So there's just such an open world of what we can do and the journeys that we can take and how we can begin to dream our lives by understanding our desires, not so much in a materialistic way, but to really honor that desire that calls us into our gift. So perhaps the gift is to play music. Perhaps the gift is to do hands-on healing. Perhaps the gift is to become a writer. Perhaps the gift is to create a program such as Joanna Crespo has created at the Open Center. So it's a journey that we each are, and we are each the captain of our ship. But even as the captain of a ship, which is our being and our expanded self, we have to understand the elements that we are engaged with and how those elements have impacted on our lives so that we can heal those things that we haven't healed thus far. And from my perspective, that thing, that part of our being that is so key, is to release the judgments that we have picked up from the toxicity in the world around us, you know, where it might have been innocently imparted upon us, a parent who wants you to go down a certain path because they believe that this is the path to your success, or perhaps you're in a culture that has values that are beautiful values, but they may not resonate with you individually. So we have to pull out of all of that and go deeper into who we are so that we can become co-creators with our higher self, with the divine source, and we can begin to weave the tapestry of our lives through our engagement with each other. And so a lot of the work that I'm doing currently is related to these various themes. One of the programs that I offer is the Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group, which is the third Wednesday of the month, every month. And this is when we have this dialogue and this conversation about, so that everyone can have that opportunity to look at where their life is and how they are moving through it, and then receive some feedback, perhaps some advice, perhaps some inspiration, perhaps some encouragement, and perhaps maybe a little of being straightened out, like, you know, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. You know, but it's all for the purpose of moving together in community to create new civilization, to expand ourselves and to explore all of these possibilities. And the next spiritual support group is coming this Wednesday, and it will be Wednesday the 26th of July. And the location is Janana Yoga Wellness Center. That's 97 Bond Street in Brooklyn. And in this upcoming support group, we're going to be engaging with a healing circle. So it will be those of us who come and are healers will be sharing their healing. It may only be myself. There may be others. Others are certainly welcome. But we're also going to go into some of the shamanic trance dance, where we'll listen to some music and allow our bodies to be inspired by deep tribal trance music, spiritual music, so that the body's wisdom can begin to rise to the surface and we can make that connection in our moving forward. Some of the various themes we cover, in addition to the healing circle and trance dance, is there's always time for conversation, sharing, networking. We bring snacks, so there's an opportunity to have a little nosh before or after our gathering. We do ceremonies, breath practices, meditation, and it's a way of plugging back into the truth of ourselves in community and in support. I invite those of you who are interested to come to the spiritual support group or to connect with myself. You can connect through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You can send an email, or if you like, you can leave a phone message, but call after the broadcast, but you can leave a phone message at 347-480-1694, and you can make those connections for the various programs that I am bringing forth as we move into this new world that we're creating. Also coming up in January of 2018, I'll be offering a practice, Qigong Energy Remedy Practice Routines, the Soaring Crane Approach, to restore, strengthen, and uplift with ease. So Qigong is considered to be a moving meditation. It's slightly akin to Tai Chi in how it looks and how it feels, but the focus is internal. And so there are many practices that are designed specifically to help us move the energy to unblock the field that might be contributing to our dis-ease states, be that emotional or physical. It's a mind-body practice. So there are specific routines to help moderate conditions of hypertension and high blood pressure and liver disorders, kidney disorders, excessive toxicity in the body, excessive fluids in the body. There are a whole series of traditions that come from traditional Chinese medicine, and I will be offering this in a 5-part series from January 23rd to February 20th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. They'll be on Tuesdays. There's actually a free introduction on January 16th, 2018, so put that on your calendar. This is also part of my teaching program. Those people who are engaged from the perspective of becoming an energy teacher, Qigong teacher, energy healer, this also qualifies as part of that certification process. So I invite you to check that out as well as we go forward. And on a regular basis, I offer an ongoing mind-body practice session to restore vitality and sustain inner peace, meditation, and movement for body wellness and stress reduction. And that's Saturdays from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at Studio Maya in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street, between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenues. The zip is 11238. And in this class, we work to stretch our muscles. We do movements and practices to increase flexibility of the joints. We do movement and meditation in this harmonic practice that helps to dissolve body tension and pain. We work on releasing the thought, the thoughts of the mind that create stress, the worry, the stress, the repetitive thinking. So we work on reducing the stress in both the body and mind, regulate circulation and elimination. And in the end, the purpose is to revitalize our life energy. This is an ongoing practice, Saturdays at 2:30 p.m. at Studio Maya. And again, you can find out more about this by sending an email if you have questions or want information to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. You can also call and leave a message at 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. We have a meetup page where you can check in to see what's going on. For instance, on Sundays, very often I'll be offering Qigong practice in Central Park in Manhattan. During the week, in the mornings, I offer practices in Prospect Park. In the mornings. So there's a lot happening and a lot going on, and I invite you to engage and to really take those steps to restore your vitality, to heal your body and your life. And we can really only do this through engagement. We have to engage ourselves, engage each other, but more importantly, expand our awareness to the fullness of who we are as beings, to fully accept and love ourselves without the learned behavior of self-condemnation. That's an important part of the process. So healing is important if we recognize that there are issues in our lives. But beyond that, we also want to expand beyond the level where we are to be able to make that connection, not just into the intuition, but into the deeper inspiration that funnels into our lives through intuition. We can have a much deeper connection to that part of our divine self that will help us to uplift and to move through life with a sense of joy, a sense of peace, a sense of wholeness. And it's when we're in that state, we can walk through this world in which we live, which at the moment is really has the appearance of being quite chaotic. But when we begin to tune into this world in which we have a true resonance with the divinity, we begin to recognize how expansive that is and how much it's growing and how much people on a one-to-one basis, on the ground, in relationships, are being transformed and are transforming through the energies in our world. So I invite you to engage and be part of this beautiful, transformative world that we are building and creating on this divine planet, our mother, goddess, Earth, a living, breathing being that is engaged in uplifting and transforming humanity and all of our world. And we can only do it by working together. And remember to go to the website, prn.fm. Look for Heart of Mind Radio on the archive page. I will have information and links to all that we discussed today. I want to thank you for joining me. Invite you to come back next Saturday at 6 p.m., prn.fm, and have a blessed week. Take good care and trust that the universe, that the divine world has your back. Bye for now.